From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's February the 18th, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In just about 26 minutes, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will be on hand to take us through the weather conditions across the globe. South America has gotten some relief, but it sure looks like the Southwest here in the U.S. is in the crosshairs. That'll happen as we finish up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. And along the way, Rod Bain from USDA will explore the Census of Agriculture, and courtesy Kinroot at WHO in Des Moines, Iowa, we'll hear how the CEO of Poet sees Valero's bid for VeriSign. The Closing Mark Report, of course, is a production of WILL. It's public radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
Well, numbers in Chicago finished like this on a Wednesday afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit. March contract down 4 3/4 today. 5.10 3/4 the settlement price. May at 5.23, a nickel lower. July at 5.5 cents lower at 5.34 3/4 for the harvest month from the soft red. March hard red at 5.46 1/2 in Kansas City finished 4 1/4 cents lower. Back in Chicago, nearby March corn futures unchanged at 3.49 1/4. The May at 3.58 down a penny. July down 1 1/2 at 3.67 1/4, and September corn, $3.76, 2 1/2 lower. December futures, 3.87 1/2 down 2 3/4, and the March corn futures at $4.75 down 2 1/2 cents. March soybean futures, $8.87 1/2, 15 1/2 lower. The May futures at $8.86 1/2 down 18 cents, and July beans at $8.90 3/4 down 17 1/4. August, 8.82, 16 1/2 lower. November beans, 8.35 3/4 down 17 1/4. March bean meal at 277.46.10 lower. The May futures down $6.50 at 274.50. March bean oil at 30.42.73 lower. The May contract 74 lower at 30.74. Feb live cattle today at 79.92 1/2, a buck 32 1/2 lower. The April's down $1.30 at 82.92 1/2, and the March feeders at $89.02 1/2 down 260. Lean hogs 25 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures are trading $34.62 a barrel, down 31 cents for the March. April at $37.41, a buck 13 lower. Ethanol at $1.54 is just about a tenth of a cent lower. Natural gas at $4.22 1/2, 2 2/10 higher. RBOB gasoline at $1.72 1/2, or rather in 2/10 of a cent, at 3 9/10 of a cent lower. And the heating oil trading at $1.15 is down 3 1/2 cents. Propane futures at 64 1/10 cents, 3 2/10 lower. And the gold futures are now at $977.70, up $10.70 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 75.22, just about 30 points lower. And the U.S. dollar today at 88.01 is up 0.21. The CRB index at 200.46 is down 2.79 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for this two-state region looks like for the afternoon. We'll take a look at those numbers. Actually, I don't have that in front of me at the moment, so I'll tell you a little bit about what we're going to be doing in the next day and a half. Tomorrow, I'll be making my way over to the Bulls sale. That's in Springfield as they kick off a big event over there. Starts at 11 o'clock. The Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale will be there in the morning. Back here in the afternoon for the show. And then tomorrow evening, I'll be in the stomping grounds of, our next guest, Paul Cooley's area, in Paris, Illinois, along with Daryl Good and Terry Munson, Ken Holzapfel and Gene Payne, with the First Bank and Trust in Paris, Illinois, for one of our Ag Outlook panels. That one starts at 6:30. You can come for the presentations for free, but you need RSVP if you want to hit the dinner. And you can do that by calling First Bank and Trust in Paris, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
On the line with us this afternoon here in the Closing Mark Report, as he always is on a Wednesday, is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, to help us define what's been happening in the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd. And we do have a guest here, Dan Zwicker, and we're going to be on a speakerphone together. And if it's okay, you can hear us okay, we'll continue with that way.
No, I think actually you both sound pretty good. Dan, of course, is our regular Thursday analyst. Dan, what you doing there in Oakland? Are you keeping tabs on what Cooley's up to?
Yeah, I got to stop by and check up on him once in a while. But no, seriously, I had a breakfast outlook meeting in Chrisman this morning. I'm headed to the Beef House tonight for an outlook meeting with the Attica State Line Elevator Group. And then I have one Thursday morning with the Brookston Group in Brookston, Indiana, on Thursday morning. So I had a couple hours here to spare, so I thought I'd come down here and bug Cooley.
Well, did you get any good information out of him today? What's he telling you about the marketplace?
Well, it's kind of hard to find anything real good in this market, as you can see looking at today's action, especially after yesterday. But I'm not too sure you want to get terribly bearish in here. It's kind of hard to find anything fundamentally to hang your hat on. But we had a pretty good hit there yesterday. I've seen an awful lot of people kind of throw in the towel here over the past 2-3 days, people that's been wanting to be bullish. So from a contrarian point of view, I guess I'm wanting to maybe turn a little neutral in here and see if we could maybe get an end-of-the-month short covering rally going.
Paul, is he right? Are people throwing in the towel at this point? You probably are getting those kinds of phone calls, I would think.
Well, we're getting three things. I think Dan is very right. We are seeing cash green move. We are getting opinions from commodity advisory services to hedge corn. And we're also seeing the price levels kind of evaporate in here. The market did focus quite a bit of attention on the Federal Reserve Chairman Bernanke speaking, and also the President on a stimulus package in regarding to home loans. So the stock market is coming back a little as we talk.
Yeah, but the U.S. government, of course, today says things are going to be worse in 2009 than had been previously expected. Do you think that this will channel its way into the marketplace? I know that ADM, for instance, did say no, that probably they were okay. I saw that come out in a press release today.
Well, I don't know if I want to bank too much about government forecasts at this point. I think everybody has been humbled somewhat with the type of price action that both the stock market and the commodity complex has seen here over the past 6 months. So I think projections are exactly what they are, as projections or estimates. So I'd probably be a little cautious to kind of follow some of that stuff, Todd.
You know, one thing that Dan and I did talk about before we went on the air, that the soybean market took the beating today. It's probably the one where the open interest is still somewhat bullish, and we saw a lot of liquidation just because of the fear factor of lower prices, and the Chinese still continue to buy. But the corn really held up fairly well as the wheat market, with all the negativeness that hit the commodity world.
Now, since we talked about the soybean market, Dan, where is it in the cycle, in the short cycles at this time?
Well, the way the market has fallen apart here late last week, and then, of course, this week here, you kind of got to lean to think that we're working maybe a six-week cycle pattern in soybeans, and we're on the second wave of that that began here about 4 weeks ago. So, the best cyclical scenario I could give you is that beans may be looking at a six-week cycle low here either late this week or early next week. So And that would also kind of fit with the corn market. I do think, you know, with the decline, we have gotten the market to the oversold technical category. And it is the end of the month, so there is some reason that we could maybe put in a short-term low here.
I know that ADM talks about crop insurance from time to time. What's the word from Decatur on crop insurance at this point?
Well, I'm not directly tied with the insurance group. We do work with ASI, which is part of ADM. Talking with those agents, they've been, of course, scouring the country with meetings and whatnot. But farmers are going to be a little disappointed in the price averages compared to what they were last year and maybe even the year before. But the silver lining, I guess, is that the overall rate per acre is going to be much smaller this year, and you can do the enterprise unit, so you can get some pretty good coverage for a whole lot cheaper, probably the cheapest input cost that we've had in several years.
Paul, do you think that on the input cost side, producers really will decide to put more bean acres in the ground?
You know, we focused a lot of that. Dan and I once again got our heads together, and we feel it's more of a geographic issue, and it's more in southern Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio and Kentucky. One of the things that when we look at the corn-bean ratio right now, 2-2, 2-3, something like that, and that's pretty historic when we look at things. It's a case of extra total expenditures in case instead of just the whether it works or not profitably. When we're at these meetings in the Corn Belt, there's still a strong feeling that corn is king and we like to raise corn, and it's a shame that the commodity traders and the speculators aren't getting a clearer picture. Obviously, we need the February hearing in Washington and also the planting weather to get the final verdict. But, you know, we think it's more geography, don't you, Dan?
My only comment was when I was down at the Farm Machinery Show last week, a lot of farmers I talked from the south, and there's no doubt about it, they're going to see a huge increase in bean acres in those areas simply because the bankers are not willing to finance the high input costs. So you're going to see, I think, huge switches in the south. Now, to what extent, that's going to be up for us to kind of decide, but I definitely smell that coming, especially in those southern areas.
Will we need those acres as South America? And, Paul, I guess this is directed
to you. Two things in the South America, the input costs down there are higher than they are here in the U.S., and number two is they're behind on machinery payments. I don't think we're going to see the big acreage increase like we've seen in the past, so that's good news for the bean market here. But the problem is we really cringe if we do get more than 4.5 million acres of beans. We really don't need that at this time, but we have some good demand now, and hopefully the Argentine and Brazilian crop is going to come in smaller. They might miss another rain, so it's the verdict is still out on the total production, but the incentive to plant a lot more acres next year out of South America just doesn't augur well.
The early harvest should be started in the northern parts of Brazil. Anybody heard anything about how they're doing?
I haven't heard anything, but it should be fairly soon. They usually get going here about the last week or so of February, and you begin to hear more and more as March comes in. But I personally have been out on the road, so I haven't seen anything come across the wire, if it has.
Rio Grande do Sul is a little on the dry side, but, it's still early, and the verdict's still out on the total yield, but the private people are indicating, I think, 56 to 58, and then somewhere between 40 to 42 in Argentina, million tons.
Paul, thanks much.
Have a profitable day, and it's been fun with Dan here, too.
All right, and thank you, too, Dan. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Very well.
All right. That's Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur was in his office this afternoon talking to us right here on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Hey, don't forget to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Tomorrow we'll be in Paris at the KC for another one of our ag panels. You can find out more at willag.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It's a production of WILL, public radio for the farming world. Up next, you know, we've talked a little bit about Valero. It's an oil company purchasing possibly Verison or making a bid to do so. Today, courtesy of Ken Ruth with the Iowa Ag Radio Network in Des Moines, we'll hear more about that, but this time from Jeff Braun. He's the CEO at Poet. It's quite a switch, of course, from just a year ago when Valero Energy CEO Bill Kleist said using corn to produce ethanol would make food so expensive in poor countries it would cause more misery than global warming. Now the nation's largest oil refinery has made a bid to take control of several corn-based ethanol maker Verison's energy plants. The second largest U.S. ethanol producer filed for bankruptcy protection, of course, in October and is looking to sell all of its 16 plants. Jeff Broin is CEO of ethanol producer Poet. He sees the positives in this development.
I've been in this industry for more than 20 years, and quite frankly, oil has been fighting us every step of the way during that time. I mean, we have literally been fought on every piece of legislation by big oil, and to see them starting to understand the benefits of our industry and making an investment, I think is a big positive for the long term.
But the sale is not final. Other companies can still bid on those plants, and there's still a chance Poet might have an interest.
At Poet, we really believe in the future of this industry. We think renewable energy is the future. We think that the days of hydrocarbon-based fuel due to just the environmental damage are limited, not to add the fact that they come from parts of the world that would just as soon see us not survive. So we believe in this industry long term, and we are reviewing all of our acquisition opportunities, Verison, including others.
Those wishing to bid against Valero have until the 13th of March to do so. If another offer is made, an auction will take place, but asset sales are expected to be completed by the end of March. Now let's move from one type of diversity that went from food and feed to food, feed, and fuel to another. This one comes out of the last census of agriculture, of course, was completed and taken in 2007. One of the main themes there was diversity, both in the varying economic and demographics of the U.S. farm. Rod Bain of USDA goes inside those numbers and explores that diversity.
Every 5 years, USDA conducts a census of agriculture. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack summarizes the importance placed by so many on census of agriculture data.
Numbers and data are very important. They direct policy. They shape policy. They can tell us what we're doing right. They can tell us what we're doing wrong.
And as Joe Prusacki of the National Agricultural Statistics Service says, the use of census data doesn't just apply to the farm and ranch sectors, but can be used by a host of municipalities, community organizations, businesses, and policymakers.
We encourage you to use these data to help identify trends and track themes that are most relevant to your particular situation. Whether it's relevant to policy, plan for town growth, determine business location, or make decisions for a farm or ranch, this information can be a very valuable tool.
The ability of the census users to customize data to fit their particular needs is one of many examples of the diversity that has been used to describe the 2007 Census of Agriculture. As Prusacki puts it, there is a wide range of statistical categories to choose from.
Ranging from production practices, production expenses, value-added and specialty production, conservation practices, income from agritourism and recreation, and much, much more.
And the diversity spoke about in the census is also obvious in the highlights of the report. Here is National Agricultural Statistics Service Administrator Cynthia Clark.
We counted more farms and ranches than in 2002. There was an increase in the number of farms and ranches operated by minorities and women. We demonstrated that there are increasing numbers of very large farms as well as small farms, and a decreasing number of mid-sized farms.
Diversity was also exemplified by the number of farmers and ranchers who participated in the 2007 census.
85% of ranchers and farmers throughout this country took the time and the effort to respond so that we have a good statistical basis for direction.
And Secretary Vilsack noted not only the increased number of women, minority, and socially disadvantaged producers who turned in census data, but how many submitted their information over the internet for the first time. Joe Prusacki notes other trends that stand out, such as the most common type of farms, an answer that may surprise some.
The most common type of farm is for the residential lifestyle or retirement farms.
And since the 2002 census, 13% of 2007 census takers would be classified as new farmers, starting operations sometime after 2002.
They tend to be smaller in terms of acreage. They are smaller in value of sales. The average age of the farmers is younger, and they tend to have a lower probability or lower chance that they are actually farming as a full-time occupation.
And diversity was on display when it came to the growing numbers of crops, livestock, and horticultural products calculated through the census, as well as the overall growth in their value from 2002.
Grains and oilseeds maintained their number one spot as the most valuable crop. That can be mainly attributed to record corn production and record high grain prices. Cattle and calves, operations with cattle and calves, they maintain their top spot from 2002. But with all livestock commodities, we can see that the value of the commodities also went up from 2002.
And despite the diversity and choices offered through the 2007 Census of Agriculture, Secretary Vilsack and others believe it is precisely this wealth of information that will lay out firm foundations of future plans for a range of entities, from farm families to local municipalities to the federal government. One can go inside the numbers of the Census of Agriculture data on their own by going online to www.agcensus.usda.gov. This has been Agriculture USA. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Usually we talk to the folks at the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. Matt Blaisdell, of course, has been in Champaign helping to fill in some holes there over the last several weeks. I've forgotten about that today, and I didn't bring the number to Champaign here in the studio with me, so we don't have him to talk to, and that's okay because I've got enough to talk to you about tomorrow night's big Knights of Columbus Ag Outlook panel in Paris, Illinois. Of course, it's at the Knights of Columbus, belongs to WILL AM 580. It's an Ag Outlook panel there. On that panel tomorrow evening, Daryl Good from right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, Extension Ag Economist. Terry Munson, a premier ag in Rentoul and a representative from Monsanto. Ken Holzapfel from Total Grain Marketing out of Effingham. And Jean Payne, she's the president of the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association. They'll be all on a panel tomorrow evening. That kicks off at 6:30. At the Knights of Columbus in Paris, and if you'd like to RSVP for dinner, which is at 5 o'clock, you really needed to do that a while ago, but you can call First Bank and Trust in Paris, Illinois, and see if that's still available. Otherwise, just show up at 6:30, and we'll be there with Daryl Good and Terry Munson, folks from Monsanto, Ken Holzapfel, and Gene Payne of the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association in Paris, Illinois. In 2 minutes, more on the agricultural weather. Drew Werner will join us from Kansas City.
On this day in agricultural history in 1665, Rudolf Jacob Camemarius was born. A German botanist, he showed the existence of sexes in plants and identified the stamen and pistil as the male and female organs. In 1876, canned sardines went on sale in the U.S. for the first time. They were packed in oil. In 1959, Andrew Moyer died, an American microbiologist. He invented a method for mass-producing penicillin. While working for the U.S. Agriculture Department laboratory, he discovered a technique for antibiotic fermentation using continuous shaking of a culture broth of corn steep liquor, a byproduct of the corn starch manufacturing process, and lactose. In 2002, new regulations went into effect requiring German pig farmers to spend at least 20 seconds every day with each pig they own, 10 seconds in the morning and 10 seconds in the afternoon. And in 2008, the USDA announced what was at the time the largest beef recall in history of 143 million pounds of frozen beef from a California slaughterhouse. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City joins us now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the globe. Hi, Drew. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Hope you're doing the same.
I am doing very well. The weather is a little gray, kind of wet here. Is it going to stay that way?
Well, no. I think we're probably going to clear off for a little while. We do have a cool air mass that's settling into the region. Storm system that's responsible for the gray around the region will go ahead and get out of the region fairly swiftly overnight tonight and tomorrow. But we do have a little clipper coming down from Alberta and Saskatchewan that will bring on some additional light snowfall and some more cloudiness coming into the region. So we'll have a brief period of some sunshine, but it's not likely to last for a very long period of time until the second surge of coolness comes across the region. Again, this will probably take place late Friday night going into Saturday. We'll probably pick up maybe a couple of inches of snow across the region. There's a potential for as much as 4 or 5 inches off to the north and east of the immediate listening area. And once that snow is out of the way, of course, we'll be dealing with some chilly weather for a brief day or two during the course of the weekend, of course. And then as we go into next week, we'll probably end up with a little bit of a warming trend taking place. In fact, that warm-up will be rather dramatic out in the plains. We're going to be keeping a close eye on the southern half of hard red wheat country, where temperatures could get into the 80s and maybe even over 90 degrees at some point next week. That's going to be a concern to the marketplace because obviously we're going to start accelerating crop growth in that region, and soil moisture is already a little on the low side, so it'll become a more interesting scenario there. But as far as the heart of the Midwest is concerned, the warm-up will just be your average warm-up across the region. We'll see a little bit of warmth coming up into the soil, but I don't think we're going to break dormancy in very many areas in the heart of the Midwest. It'll be mostly down to our south.
You turn your attention to South America, where they're still in the midst of the growing season, very early in the harvest season, depending on where you are in that part of the world, but they've been suffering from dry conditions.
Absolutely. Argentina in particular has really taken it on the chin this particular year, but a lot of the extremes seem to be going on back into history at this point. We've picked up on some timely rainfall a week ago, and we're still going to see some more timely rain coming up here Friday and Saturday. These two events combined will really minimize the amount of soybean country that is being hurt by stressful conditions. Most of the really bad weather from a crop perspective has been down in La Pampa and Buenos Aires here recently, and those areas will get a little bit of rain with a Friday-Saturday event, but the rest of the country will see a whole lot more, and the majority of soybeans are produced further to the north. So I think we've probably seen the worst of the problems in Argentina, and Brazil, of course, has been healing up for quite some time now. Their biggest problem was in December, and weather conditions have been steadily improving there up to this point in time. The biggest worry in Brazil is that we might be a little wet for some of that harvest that you mentioned. The harvest is going on in northern portions of Brazil right now, and field progress may be a little slow until we get some better sunshine to occur, but it will come eventually. It's just going to be a little slow for a while.
Drew, thank you much.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Wednesday afternoon, and you have a great day too. I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.